This is Trevor Story, Colorado Rockies. You're listening to Faith on the Field show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field show, presented by International Justice Mission. I am Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy.
Hi.
What's up? It is great to be with you again in LA, Las Vegas, Orlando, Charlotte, Atlanta, Philly, wherever you're listening to Faith on the Field show. Thank you for tuning in. Special guest this week is former NFL punter and Super Bowl champion Steve Weatherford. Stay tuned for that conversation. I love talking to Steve because my man isn't just a punter. He is the most jacked up punter in the history of the NFL. He was on the cover of Muscle and Fitness magazine.
Really?
Yeah. So it was a great conversation talking about what he's doing now. He's an entrepreneur. He's a speaker. He's got a lot of things going on. He's got an event coming up that he's going to get into. But also he talks about wanting to be, when he grew up and thought about or looked around and saw who were the Christians in his life, his dad and everyone else. And he's like, yeah, I don't want to dress that way. I don't want to look that way. Like, as a kid, these are the things that you think about because you're like, oh, that's what a Christian looks like.
Oh,
and he's like,
yeah. Hey,
you know, Steve's got this blonde hair, dyed blonde. He's all muscled up and a big dude. And like, he says in the interview, I wanted to be a Christian who looks like Hulk Hogan, who looks like one of those guys. And I want to talk a little bit about perception because it should never be, Christianity should never be about, oh, you got to look this way. You got to act this way. You got to be that. Just be yourself.
Right.
Be yourself. Jesus wants us to be ourselves. Like, hey, you're into fashion. I am too. I like to look a certain way. You like to look a certain way. Maybe sometimes looking that way doesn't match up to the, as Steve described it, the khakis and the buttoned up collared shirt and all that stuff. So what? It doesn't matter. I'll tell you one of my favorite stories. The greatest reception I had speaking somewhere, and I don't want to name the place, but it was a church that I walked into where I looked around and I saw that look. I saw the suits and the khakis, and I said, "Wow, this might be a hard crowd."
Uptight.
Yeah, I thought this might be a tough crowd. I don't know if my style or the way I present is gonna really mesh with them. Man, it was the most welcoming.
Right.
Ovations, standing ovations. Yeah. I did a book signing at the time.
That's
I had a
awesome.
Line that was like 2 hours long. It was so cool. I got friends from there now. Like, I made friends from being there.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you go in with this perception and you come out of it with, yeah, but they're all cool anyway. It doesn't matter. So yeah, I think that's something that you had thought about this often was, how do I dress to go to church even? How do I,
right.
you know, there's certain different things because growing up, you're told one thing, right? You're told this, this, that, and the other. And then,
like, I had so many fights with my mom.
Really?
Saying I cannot wear ripped jeans to church. I'm like, dude, we can. But like,
you still wear ripped jeans
to church. And the woman waited for me to change. Like, she doesn't care.
Wow.
She'd be like, we're not going anywhere till you change your pants. So. And I'm like, well, I guess we're not going to church. She's like, no, we're going to church, but you have to change your pants.
And you did?
I did. Yeah, I just want to get the day over with. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of.
Was that in Egypt or here?
Egypt and here.
Wow.
Yeah, she's
How come
very,
I'm just
like,
finding this out right now?
I don't know.
We never had that conversation.
We did not. But yeah, she's very big on like being respectful of God and his home, and you're like, you need to be presentable and you need to look good, and she's right. You know, if you think about it, if you're gonna go like visit the president or something, or like an official somewhere, you're not gonna wear ripped jeans. You're gonna wear your fancy dress.
Dude, you still wear ripped jeans now?
I do, but not like, no, not to church. Not to church. I don't wear my ripped ones to
church.
Does it
depend on the level of rippedness?
Yeah, I think it depends, yeah.
Because there's pastors now who preach with ripped jeans, and you listen to them. I don't care.
I'm not saying I'm supporting my mom's theory.
Her idea.
I'm just saying she got a point.
Well, she's older school. It's an older school mentality.
She got a point.
I understand where she's coming from.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm not criticizing her.
I mean, do I think Jesus cares what I'm wearing? No, he really doesn't care. But do I think it's good to look good for church? And I like wearing like my heels and like a nice dress or something nice at church. I always look good.
Yeah, but back to your point, he doesn't care.
That's,
you know,
my point.
If you're walking in off the street as a homeless person, you're welcome,
care.
Right?
He
you're welcome, and I love that more and more churches have that welcoming mentality.
Oh my gosh,
more
yeah,
and more
it's
churches
amazing.
I'm seeing have that mentality. Just come in.
In fact, if you look,
we just want
amazing,
you
but your heart is not great, and you are making mm-hmm. fun of people when you walk in, or you're looking at people a certain way,
someone.
But you're wearing your fancy Gucci's, and like, but your heart is like Walmart. It's not cool. You know, it's not good. That's not what God is looking
there's
for.
There's anything wrong with Walmart.
No,
if they
no,
want to sponsor
cool,
Faith
cool.
on a Field Show, send me an email to team at Faith.
I'm just saying.
I wanted to talk about perception too, because fear of God is, there's this huge, we recently went to a funeral, and we were mm-hmm. at a funeral, and it was at a service, and it was at a mass, and the overwhelming feeling was sadness. There was just so much sadness. There was no hope, or he's with the Lord now. Like, it was, I felt this overwhelming sadness, and I couldn't help but think, I've been to other services in the past year or so, and they were so different from mm-hmm. place to place. And you want to leave there feeling like, hey, yes, this was the end of this person's time here on earth, but if they are a believer, they're with the Lord now, and it's a happy time, and they're rejoicing, and I know you're going to miss them. But it got me thinking about this whole idea of people teaching you to fear the Lord, and the religions that teach to fear God, everything, like, to the point where we went back and I had a conversation with my dad, who's not, and you mm-hmm. heard him mm-hmm. talking
I
about.
I was actually surprised.
I know. He was yeah. like, fear the
Lord. I was like, well, check you out.
I know. We didn't like, have that conversation
okay.
before. But, it, yeah. you know, the Bible says in Psalms, let all the earth fear the Lord, let
right.
all the people of the world revere him. But God isn't an angry, like, vicious pit bull type dog
no.
that we're supposed to be afraid of. We fear, right? We fear what's dangerous. But mm-hmm. God isn't dangerous. He doesn't hate us. He's not like this angry, bitter storm waiting for us to do something wrong so he could crack the whip. He doesn't want to hurt us. He doesn't want to harm us. He loves us. God created us, and he loves us, and the proof of that incredible, immense love is that he sent his only son into the world to die for our sins. So would have he done that if he hated us? Absolutely not. So I feel like the fear of God is misconstrued. It's supposed to be not scared of him, but respect him.
Right.
To have a deep reverence for him, to be in awe of his holiness, his majesty, his power, his love. And if we feel that way, if we recognize his incredible love for us and we understand who he is and how great he is, we will want to love and serve him and worship him, and in the process, love and serve others.
Yeah, I mean, it's. Have you ever heard a phrase like when people are married? I mean, we say it too, like, I love you now more than I ever did, or
yeah.
I love you now when I, before.
Even today, even, when I annoyed the heck out of you.
Yeah, you really did. You really
I was
you
annoyed.
You got on my nerves, but you know what?
I got
I love
on
you,
all
so.
Your nerves.
Yeah. But I love you now more than the day I've met you, right? Because, you know, the funny thing
I can
about
do that sometimes.
Oh yeah, you can. You're skilled. But the point is, I
yes.
still love you more now than I ever did, because
thank you. I
every
love you too.
Day I get to know you better.
Right.
And I
yeah.
get to kind of, it's kind of like this uncovering of this present that God gave us. And it's the same thing that happened with our relationship with the Lord. The more we get to know him, the more we love him more, the more we respect him more. Not about fearing, but it's about respect his love for us.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that respect, we try to do things that not hurt his feelings.
Mm.
Just like how I try not to hurt your feelings because I love you. The deep respect I have for you, the deep love I have for you prevents me from doing that. Because I love you. So it's walking in that love, not walking in fear. And it's the same exact relationship. He always draws us near to him because he wants our heart. And he wants us to love him as much as he loves us. So it's just how I think about it.
I love that. Maybe we should change it from fear of God to reverence, to respect of God.
Right.
Because
and
we're all talking about
too.
God fearing,
yeah.
God loving,
mm-hmm.
God respecting, God reverence of God. Yep. Up next, you'll hear from Steve Weatherford. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission with Rob and Remy Mott.
Today, Over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Karen.edu.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's Dairy Stores now operates 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh, quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest, coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on-site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
This is JT Romito, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. If you're listening to us for the first time, you can go to faithonafieldshow.com. Find every episode since we launched in 2017. We've had an awesome lineup of guests, and you can listen anytime at your convenience. On any of the podcast platforms, you'll hear the full interviews on there. Be sure also to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field, and tell a friend about the show. I want to take a minute to thank all of our wonderful sponsors. Please check them out on our website, International Justice Mission, and the incredible work that they do. Go to IJM.org, Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates. Thank you to all of them. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show and help our ministry grow, please reach out to us at team@faithonafieldshow.com. We have various packages we can cater specifically to fit your needs. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. So if you don't have a business to advertise on but want to help the ministry, we have a donate button on our page on faithonafieldshow.com. You can also help out by purchasing some of our merch through Remy's 828 Threads Apparel store. We have t-shirts and so much more. Check it out. Really cool stuff. You can find it on our site, faithonafieldshow.com, under merch. Our guest this week, Steve Weatherford, played 10 seasons in the NFL, mostly with the Jets and Giants. He won a Super Bowl with the Giants over the Patriots. He began his career with the Saints. Steve is a punter who's really in a linebacker's body. He's just an incredibly fit guy. Loved sitting down, chatting with him. Incredible energy. He's a speaker, an entrepreneur. His event coming up, Become the CEO of Your Life, June 28 and 29 at the Hilton Meadowlands in East Rutherford, New Jersey. We discuss that and much more. Here's my conversation with Steve Weatherford, presented by International Justice Mission.
Steve, you played a decade in the NFL, won a Super Bowl with the Giants. There's this perception, and you know it, of punters and kickers not being like their teammates, but you ended up being the fittest guy in the league on the cover of Muscle and Fitness. Man, tell me about that, because that's something, like, I look at it with a ton of respect and admiration for you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I'm assuming that's probably kind of like where it was born out of a definite insecurity. But it was way before I was in the NFL that I decided that I wanted to get like the most absolute out of my body. When I was a freshman in high school, Rob, I was 108 pounds as a freshman in high school, and I was 5'8". So it wasn't like I was like short and small. I was like tall and skinny. It looked like when I played football, that's the first time I played football. And when they put a football helmet on my head, it looked like a golf tee, and they just put a golf ball on top of it. Man, I was that thin. But I really just, when I got my first cover of Muscle and Fitness, I was like, wait, so you telling me there's like ways that I can eat and supplements that I can take and ways that I can train like these people, and then one day I'll look like this? So my obsession started at like 14 years old, and I had four goals. I wanted to become an Olympic champion, which I didn't do that, but I was a world champion. So I kind of like count that one. I wanted to become a father. That was one of the first goals that I had for myself because I had a great dad. I loved my family. I came from a big family. I wanted to become a professional athlete. You know, I was able to live that dream as well. And lastly was I wanted to be on the cover of the magazine that like started my obsession. And even before that, like I would watch movies like Rocky Balboa or Karate Kid. And there was like a rule in my house, Rob, where Steve's not allowed. And I had two brothers and a sister, but Steve, specifically Steve, wasn't allowed to watch Karate Kid or Pistol Pete or Rocky Balboa after the sun went down, because I would start exercising because I just wanted to be big. I wanted to be strong. I wanted to look like a pro wrestler. But it was when I was like 14 years old that I discovered like, hey, you can actually influence how your body looks with what you eat, how you train, how you sleep, how you hydrate. So I know that was a long answer to that question, but a lot of people ask the question like, why would you go to such an extreme? You're just a punter. And the other people are like, how did you go to such an extreme? I loved it. I still love it. I'm almost 40 years old and I get my blood tested like 3 times a year to make sure I'm eating, sleeping and doing everything well, because man, here's the deal, Rob, God gave me one body and I want this vessel to be able to carry me through the 90 plus years that I have on this planet doing what God needs me and wants me to do. Like I'm still trying to figure out exactly what that is, but I know that I'm going to need my body in order to accomplish it. And so that's why I choose to prioritize and optimize my body as best I can in each season that I'm in. And when I say season, I'm not talking about just NFL. I'm talking about when I was a teenager and then I was in high school and in the pros. Now I'm a father and an entrepreneur and a speaker. So there's different seasons where your body's going to need different things from you. And I just want to make sure that I'm really in tune with that.
Well, I could definitely appreciate that as somebody who works out like crazy. How did that help you in the locker room, Steve? Because you're in better shape than some of these other guys playing these other positions, right? And how did that translate on the field, like making tackles or not being afraid to get in there and get dirty and do, you're not just punting the ball away and heading to the sidelines. You're out there and you're ready to rock.
Yeah. Well, I think that there's multiple positives of it. But I guess I'll share what those were. I mean, it was to the point where Coach Coughlin respected my athleticism enough to make me the third string quarterback in Super Bowl 46. Think about that for a second, Rob. I've never taken a snap under center in my entire life, not in high school, not in Pee Wee, never, no live reps. But when we went into Super Bowl 46, if Eli Manning would have woken up sick and not being able to play, and David Carr gets hurt in the first quarter, I'm the quarterback in Super Bowl 46 for 3 quarters. And the only reason Coach trusted me to be able to do that was he really, really respected my athleticism, and nobody handled the football more than I did, except for Eli, because I'm taking snaps constantly for field goals or for long snaps. And so he trusted my hands more than anybody else's. So that was one of the benefits and the cool things about it. But the reason I, you know, initially really got into it the way that I got into it is I had more free time than everybody else on the team. Rob, you know, think about it. You start with the team meeting, then you go to special teams, and after an hour, they go to offense, defense, and then they go to like, you know, defensive backs or D-line or O-line. They go to their specific positions. Well, after special teams is over, dude, I got like 2 hours. So a lot of the older, you know, older kickers that I would be with, they would go like play chess against each other. Or some of those guys would like, they would whittle wood and they would have like these little nerdy hobbies up it. And I was like, dude, I'm going to go lift weights. You know, I want to go get stronger. I want to be like the guys that are in the other room that are bigger and are strong and can run and can tackle, because I wasn't just a kicker in high school. I played basketball. I played football. I played soccer. I ran track, and I was like all state in all four of them. Granted, it was Indiana, but still that's elite. You know, I was a really good athlete. So I related more with the athletes on the football team than I did the kickers and punters. But don't get me weird. Don't get me wrong, dude. I'm super duper weird like the kickers and punters are. Like I might look like the football players, but I'm weird just like all the kickers and punters.
You mentioned Super Bowl 46. That was the second time the Giants beat the Patriots and Belichick and the dynasty and Tom Brady. You got the opportunity to be part of that team. Like, what do you remember most about that day, about that game?
I feel like it was the easiest game that I played in. I don't want to sound boastful. I'm just talking about from a degree of like how hard it was for me. I was surprised at how easy it was, because the game before that in the NFC Championship game, it was like 33 degrees and it was sleeting. It was 27 mile an hour winds. We went into overtime. It was super muddy. It was tough, tough conditions. And I punted well considering the conditions, but it was really hard. And then you go into the indoor, you go into Lucas Oil Stadium and the balls are dry and the air is clear and crisp and it's 72 degrees, temperature controlled. I mean, everything's favorable for, you know, for a skill player, for a wide receiver, for a kicker, for a punter, for a quarterback. Like, that's ideal. So I just remember it being really effortless to do my skill. But man, dude, I felt like God had his hand on the ball the entire game when I punted it, because all of my punts all day were like, my furthest punt back was 44 yards away from the or 52 yards away from the end zone. So I never really had enough grass to be able to really blast a 60 yarder and hit a bomb in the Super Bowl like a hero. But what I was able to do was put the ball in a position to where they couldn't return it. So I had four punts during the game. Wes Welker, that was like when he was his best as a returner, he had zero return yards. And every single time that Tom Brady came unto center after one of my punts, it was at the 2 yard line, the 4 yard line, the 8 yard line, and the 6 yard line. That like drastically changes the plays that you call if you're Bill Belichick. And I'm not saying that to be boastful. Like I said, man, I had my first punt of the game. I punted it from the 42. It hit the 2 yard line. It didn't bounce forward. It didn't bounce backwards. Rob, that thing hit the two, bounced up, and then high enough in the air that my long snapper is not the best athlete on the team. You know, I mean, he's a good athlete, but it was in the air long enough for him to run under it, catch it, and hand it to the ref at the two. And then the very next play, Justin Tuck sacked Tom Brady in the Super Bowl for the first 2 points of Super Bowl 46. Like, that's cool, man. Like, punters never get to be a part of like big plays like that. But I felt like I kind of like alley-oop Tuck to go in there and knock his head off for 2 points, you know?
That's awesome. That's definitely some favor on you, man, right there, talking about that. Steve, you played for the Jets before you played for the Giants. You went back and finished your career with the Jets. Now you're going to be back in New York for your seminar, Become the CEO of Your Life. Before we get into the seminar and what people can expect, what's it going to be like for you going back? Like, I don't know how often you've been back in that area, North Jersey, New York, but what's that going to be like for you after spending a majority of your career in that area?
Man, dude, I can't wait to go back. I mean, think about it, Rob. I travel around the world and I speak and I love it. And I do some consulting and team and leadership talks at different companies. And I do a lot of it in New York. And I spent 8 years of my career there. So I have so many good friends, and not being able to go there for like the last 14 months, like, my best friend in the whole world lives in East Hanover, New Jersey. And I haven't been able to see her forever. She's like an aunt to my kids. So like from that standpoint of my relationships, man, I can't wait to, I'm flying in 2 days early just so I can see everybody. So that's going to be amazing. I'm looking forward to that. But the event that we're hosting it at is the Hilton Meadowlands. And that hotel is special to me. I mean, that's the hotel we had training camp at every single year. So like, man, I know the COO, I know the hotel staff, I know the, you know what I mean? Like, I just know people. It's super comfortable for me. So I can't wait to go back and see all of them. And we also would stay there the night before our games. And so like some of my best relationships are with the hotel staff at that hotel, because you spend a month of your life there every year for like 8 years. So looking forward to doing that. And man, I'm really looking forward to going back and being able to provide something for someone that I wish I had at a time in my life that I didn't. And what I'm referring to is the structure and the order that I had when I was a professional athlete, that when you would show up to training camp, you would be alongside people who wanted the same thing that you wanted, who valued the same thing that you valued. And the coach was actually able to give you the structure and the order to put your gifts and talents into the right position so you could be champions, right? Like, I was so good at that. But then when I retired from the NFL and I got into entrepreneurship, so this event is for entrepreneurs or people that are in a 9-to-5 who have a book or have a podcast, who have a product or have a service inside of them that they've always wanted to do, but they're stuck in the overwhelm of like, oh man, this is going to take too much time. It's going to take too much capital. That's what this event is for, is to help you take something from an idea to a business plan, to a launch plan. And for people who have already launched their businesses, like people like me, we want to talk to you about advertising, lead generation, branding, and how you can get more people to click on your website using Facebook ads and YouTube ads, because that is super overwhelming for a lot of people. But we're involved in 9 different companies at different levels. But the one thing we do for all 9 of these companies is we do all their Facebook and YouTube ads, because we've become really good at not just creating the videos, but actually being able to get in there and optimize who sees your videos. So you don't just get a whole bunch of views. You get a lot of views for the specific type of people that want to buy your product or service. So I'm really excited about getting back, helping entrepreneurs with that. But aside from the business of it, because that's super important, I believe in our life, we have 5 power pillars, 5 things that if we are healthy in all 5 of these power pillars, we can live our best life. We just talked about financial. That's the support we're going to give to entrepreneurs there, but also mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Like, what type of training plans do you have in place to become a better leader, to become a better father, to become a better friend, to be better at self-leadership? Because that's the hardest thing ever to do. Like, they got all these books out there about leadership and how to build business, but how many people are helping you get better at leading yourself? Because 99% of the time, the CEO is the reason that the business is not moving to the next level. It's because there's a cap on the leader. And so this is a place that that we want to help people take the cap off. And so we've got 20 coaches that work with us. And so there's going to be a room of about 150 people. And so there's going to be about, for every 3 to 4 people, they're going to have a coach, and we're going to take them through 2 days of exercises. We're going to have incredible speakers. I'm going to be speaking and instructing and teaching a lot during these 2 days. And man, I'm just excited to get back to New Jersey, because they've had this mask mandate just lifted, like I want to say like 3 or 4 days ago. So man, we've been praying and believing that an opportunity would present itself, because we've been wanting to go back to New Jersey since we started doing this event. It's called the CEO of Your Life. It teaches people to put themselves back into the power position in these 5 power pillars. So I hope that was a good illustration of the event, what we're going to do, what people can expect, the fact that we have 150 seats. People probably want to know the price. It's $97. So you're talking about like $43.50 per day, and you're going to get at minimum 6 hours of time in the room with us, and I'm going to be in the center of it. So really, really excited to lead that, to facilitate that, and help a lot of people maybe walk in overwhelmed or discouraged and walk out really clear and really encouraged.
That sounds really cool, man. And it's a 2-day event, like you said, at the Hilton Meadowlands, East Rutherford, New Jersey. People can check that out at kingscouncilcoaching.info/invite. Tickets still available. You said it's 150. I'm sure that's going to go quickly. So tickets are, as of right now, they're still available.
As we record this right now, we have less than 50. Man, I would love to meet, connect, pray, motivate, and just speak some life into some entrepreneurs, into some moms, into some dads, into some people who have always wanted to write a book, into people that have always wanted to become an email marketer. Man, there's so many gifts and talents out there that if you don't just step forward and give yourself a shot, how are you ever going to know if this is the thing that you are supposed to be doing all of your life?
Steve, I can't let you go without sharing a little bit for me about your journey to the Lord, because as you're sitting there, we're having this conversation, I look behind you, there's the Vince Lombardi trophy, but next to it, it says Jesus saves, and 2 powerful words, 2 extremely powerful words. So was it during your career, before that, afterwards, when did you come to Christ, man?
Yeah. So my story, I feel like there were two really cathartic moments for me. The first one, when I was 11, and I went to, I don't know if you ever remember the Power Team, but I went to a Power Team concert, and the Power Team was essentially 6 to 8 guys that would travel from city to city and go from high school assembly to church assembly. And they would put on these incredible feats of strength. They would break stones. They would break handcuffs. They would run through boards. They would bend bars over their head. It was like WWF type stuff. And I'd never seen these guys before. And I was invited to go when I was 11 years old. And I was so freaking captivated, Rob. I grew up in the church, but I really wasn't that interested in a relationship with Jesus Christ, because all the dudes that I knew that were like followers of Jesus were like my dad and his friends. And, you know, and I love my dad. I honor my dad. But my dad would like, he wore khakis every day. He tucked his shirt in, you know, but I wanted to be like a freaking WWF wrestler. And I didn't see any like radical Christians, any guys with bleach blonde hair or earrings or like Brian Bosworth type of people, you know, like Hulk Hogan type of Christians. So I was disinterested in it, man. I wanted to be big and loud and powerful and confident. And then I went to this concert and I saw these guys, and they were big, they were strong, they were radical. They had cut off t-shirts with huge muscles. And every single time they put on these incredible feats of strength, they didn't put their hands up and be like, I'm champion of the world. My name's John Jacobs. My name's Chris Mathewson. No, they put their hands up and they said, I did this by the power of Jesus. And I'm like, dude, I want what these guys have. But the main guy that was like captivating me the entire time was 6'6", 275 pounds. And he was like the leader of these guys. His name was Keith Kraft. And he's actually the pastor and the reason that I just recently moved from Southern California to here. But we'll get to that part of the story. So anyway, long story short, he breaks these handcuffs. And then after he does the handcuffs, he gives the crowd an invitation to receive Jesus. So I raised my hand. I received Jesus. I asked Jesus to enter my heart and forgive me of my sins. And I promised God that I believed that his son was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I left there renewed, restored. And then just like, you know, a lot of people's story, I went back to my normal life and very quickly clicked back into the normalcy of not being able to have like a radical role model around to see how he would handle different situations. And so went through high school, college, you know, I've had addiction issues my entire life. So it was from porn to pills to sex addiction. You know, I struggled with so many of these things quietly during my NFL career as well. And then I retired, moved out to San Diego, and I was invited to a men's conference called Emerge. On walks to the stage, Keith Kraft. But I didn't recognize his name. So I'm sitting there next to my 11-year-old son, and I got saved when I was 11. I got special permission to go to this men's conference and bring my son. The main speaker walks up, they announce his name, Keith Kraft. I don't recognize his name or anything. And then he speaks into the microphone. Rob, I'm telling you, dude, I felt like I got hit by a lightning bolt. My whole body just started like vibrating. And like, that's when I had my first real God moment where I felt like the Holy Spirit was like upon me. And I didn't know why. And I'm like, just locked into this dude that's talking. Cause like, I know that voice, like that is, you know what I mean? And then I asked the person next to me, what's this guy's name? And I Googled it. And the first picture that popped up was like power team picture of him. I'm like, that's the freaking guy. That's the guy who I had his poster on my wall. And I like, you know what I mean? This guy was like the guy to me. And so after he was done speaking, I ran up to speak to him. And this is in a tent of 2000 men. And I run up and I end up like throwing all these dudes out of the way, and I grab him and I like vomited all of my life accomplishments onto him and kind of acknowledged and honored him. Like he was my inspiration to like get freaking huge and get jacked and be muscular and still be proud that like I love Jesus. Like he was the reason that I wanted to be excellent in this, you know, like, and just attributed like, after that happened, the very next thing I asked for Christmas was a weight set, like just how he shifted my trajectory. So I vomited all this onto him in a huge crowd, loud crowd in like 60 seconds. He's like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Take my number, like call me later. And so I remember walking back to my seat and like almost feeling like I was like floating on clouds. Like, is this real life? You know? And I get back to my seat and I'm like, where's my son? And I asked my buddy, he's like, oh dude, you're never going to believe it. He's up at the front. He just gave his life to Jesus.
Wow. That's so awesome.
That's like 25 years to the day too.
Oh, like, my goodness.
Like tell me that God isn't real after hearing a story like that. You can't write that stuff. You can't make that stuff up. That's real life.
Yeah.
And that happened 2.5 years ago. And it was at that moment. I'm like, that was like my touch from God. He was like, pay attention to this guy. So after that happened, I called Keith Kraft. I asked him, would he coach me? Would he mentor me? So I started paying to get coached on Zoom for over a year and implementing everything that he gave me into my life biblically, from a leadership standpoint, from a marriage standpoint, from a financial standpoint, because he wasn't just a pastor. Like he was a millionaire businessman before he was 40. And then he decided to get into a church. You know, he was on tour with Zig Ziglar for 19 years before he was even a pastor. So like, this dude's battle tested in the world and proven success, but he's done it 100% of the time, like God's way, you know, and he has fruit in his life in all the areas that I want. He's got amazing, like 30 plus year friendship relationships. He's got an amazing marriage. He's got amazing kids who all serve in the church at some capacity. It's just, and he's healthy. He's fit. He looks as good as he did when he was 35 years old when I saw him. So I'm just inspired by the fruit that's in his life. So if I see somebody who has the fruit that I want, I'm going to go to that tree and I'm going to ask him for seed, you know? And so that's what I did for a year over Zoom. And I started praying about it and asked my wife, I said, what do you think about us moving to Frisco, Texas to get closer to him? And then all this pandemic craziness happened. And that was like, that was the confirmation from God that like, we're released, dude, go to Texas, be in proximity to the fruit that you want and just watch how he does life, man. And learn and be shaped and be submitted to somebody else's coaching. And that's really his mentorship of me has allowed me to really grow in my confidence to be able to put on an event like the CEO of your life. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to go up there and teach you a whole bunch of things that I created on my own. These are things that I've learned from other mentors. And some of them are people like Coach Tom Coughlin. I learned so many, you know, top level peak performance leadership tactics when I was in the National Football League. And then I have other mentors like Pastor Keith Kraft and my best friend in the world playing in the NFL for 23 years, John Carney. I named my daughter Carney in his honor. I've just been so blessed to have so many amazing men and husbands and leaders and Christians in my life that I do feel confident to fly into a city that I don't live in, like East Rutherford, and like guarantee that people are going to get their heads knocked off of their body in Jesus's name, because it's not about me. And it's actually not even about that person. We're going to make the entire day about that person, their business, their family, their mission, their vision. But at the end of the day, it's to glorify God. So like, to me, I'm living win-win, Rob. I don't know if I should say like swipe up on your phone, because I know I want you to be there, man.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, man. I've enjoyed this time, man. I hope I get to see you in New Jersey June 28th and June 29th at the CEO of Your Life event, man. Thank you for letting me come on here and speak my truth.
That was former NFL punter Steve Weatherford. Thank you to Steve for joining us this week. Thank you to Doug, Pastor Scott, Josh, and everyone on our Faith on a Field team. And thank you for listening to Faith on a Field show presented by International Justice Mission. With Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Caron University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Caron is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Caron is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at caron.edu/visit.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc. is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have two daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
With 33 convenient locations, Heritage's Dairy Stores desires to be your deli of choice. Heritage's full-service delis offer great-tasting products for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Hairy Egg Breakfast Sandwich, made with two farm-fresh eggs, cheese, choice meat on a fresh Kaiser roll, makes mornings simple. Heritage's famous subs are built on freshly baked Lissio rolls and feature Dietz & Watson premium meats and cheeses, freshly sliced anytime. Making lunches at home? Try one of our lunchbox specials, which are sure to please. Heritage's Dairy Stores, our family, your hometown deli.